everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. It's been some time since we have last aired a program, and I know, because I've heard as much, that some of you are disappointed by the infrequency of the Heart of the Matter. Well, since we no longer interview guests, and for other reasons, we have drastically cut back on the Heart of the Matter program. The program began airing first in 1995 as a daily program on a national AM-FM network, but with demands that I go silent, that I cease to speak the scriptural truth concerning popery, we moved over to the Internet in 2000, and on the Internet we have been since then. Now, this week I felt moved, though, to produce a Heart of the Matter, and I had time to do that, and so here I am. There is, in fact, an issue that I aim to address. In truth, I will have my close brother in the Lord, that tried and true, that battle-scarred, faithful minister Ivan Foster, address the issue with only a few introductory comments from me. But before that, I would just mention, and I hope for your encouragement, that since last airing a Heart of the Matter program, those of us from Pilgrim's Covenant Church have been involved in much open-air gospel labor, including literature, dropping our gospel booklets door-to-door in quite a number of Wisconsin towns and also one Illinois town. We've also been to some large public events where we held our scripture signs, our very large scripture signs, and handed out our gospel tracts and booklets, as well as doing some one-on-one witness. And finally, since the last Heart of the Matter, we've launched a gospel billboard campaign, which will be spread out over 2016. Our plan is to rent highly visible, easily read billboards at very busy intersections or streets where the traffic is both heavy and slow-moving. We are working on securing such billboards in towns around Wisconsin. But without further ado, we move on to the issue to which I want to call your attention. Specifically, it has to do with some very troubling information Reverend Foster has to share regarding Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Dr. and Pastor Joel Beakey, President. Back in 2011, Reverend Foster and I recorded an HOM in which we expressed our concerns about Joel Beakey joining in preaching fellowship with John Piper at his Desiring God conference. I trust all of you know that John Piper is far from being a faithful, sound minister of Jesus Christ. Now, during that program, we were low-key, we were very respectful, we were hoping for the best with regard to Joel Beakey. We simply expressed our concern about what I just mentioned. Dr. Beakey, after all, has the reputation, which he has much cultivated, of being one who is a modern-day Puritan and a rock-solid minister. It was not too long before Reverend Foster and I found out two things. First, Joel Beakey, though he may be sound in doctrine, is terribly compromised and corrupted in his ministry practice, including in his ministry and preaching associations, and also in his book business, Reformation Heritage Books. That book printing retail business is horribly corrupted as to the authors whose teachings are sold through it, and we have documented that. I believe in programs, I know in articles, we have done so much on this whole sad issue. Now, in June of 2012, Mr. Foster and I issued an article which documented, to some extent, Dr. Beakey's involvement in REFL 500, an organization of Romanists, of full-blown apostate Protestants, and also then new Calvinists such as Dr. Beakey. Later, I also produced a much more in-depth article on that same subject, showing that Dr. Beakey was actually a moving force in at the ground level when REFL 500 was launched in America. Although we were savaged by Beakey defenders for that article and other follow-up efforts concerning Dr. Beakey and REFL 500, I say other efforts in which we documented the depth to which Dr. Beakey was entangled in REFL 500. In the first article, we saw some of that entanglement, and it was bad. And then we saw even more. Well, consequently, we were somewhat savaged, as I said, by Beakey defenders, very much so, in fact. But there were faithful Christians and pastors who took the warning to heart and acted accordingly, though not nearly enough. After a year and a half of pressure brought to bear on him from that article and subsequent articles and Heart of the Matter programs, Dr. Beeke apparently felt that it was expedient to finally withdraw from REFL 500, although he did not sever all ties with the organization. Now, we have done articles on his involvement with REFL 500. In fact, I did an in-depth program, Heart of the Matter, on REFL 500 itself. And of course, it's not just Dr. Beeke then we talk about, but I would urge you to listen to that program on REFL 500. I do not have the name in front of me, but it's very much worth listening to because this particular organization is still going strong and will continue to, at least through the anniversary, the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation, or the, what's said to be the beginning of it, when Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses of his on the Castle Church door in Wittenberg. And we have also done articles and programs documenting, at least in part, but not fully. There would be so much to document, but we have documented a great deal concerning Dr. Beeke's involvement with unfaithful, unsound evangelical ministries, conferences, churches, ministers, so forth. And then we have done articles in which we documented, again, we could have even documented more than we provided, but we have provided much documentation on the horribly corrupted condition of Reformation Heritage books. Now, you can find our articles and our programs, the program links, by going to pccmonroe.net and then click on this, just on the homepage. Go down a little ways and you'll see this, a heartfelt warning concerning the deep and open ministry compromises of Dr. Joel Beeke. Click on that, and it will go to all of those links, the titles of the articles and programs, and links to them so that you can either hear, of course, the programs or read the articles. Now, I will tell you that other than the situation with REFL 500, Dr. Beeke has only gone deeper into compromise rather than reforming his ways. For instance, concerning the conferences he preaches at and the ministries he associates with, this is most serious, this situation, because of Dr. Beeke's reputation as a sound, trustworthy pastor. And so many Christians then are lured by him through his ministry compromise to sit at the feet of ministers that are not only unfaithful in practice, but also in doctrine. But yet, if Dr. Beeke is involved with them, or as the case may be, he's selling their teachings, that is, selling their books at his Reformation Heritage books, they must be sound. And so they sit at these men's feet, and as the case is, even the feet of women teachers, because his book business sells books by women teachers, their teachings as well, by charismatics, in fact, by all sorts of unsound ministers and teachers, such as John Piper and worse than Piper. And by the way, at last count, Reformation Heritage Books sold 23 books of teachings. 23 books by John Piper. Now, the second thing Mr. Foster and I quickly learned was that there are many Christians, including ministers, who are more than willing to trample right over the Word of God to defend Dr. Beeke, and are more than willing to pervert truth and savage the character and reputation of anyone who, simply out of much concern for the honor of the Lord and the good of his church, simply presents evidence to this day, irrefutable and unrefuted evidence of the undeniable fact that Dr. Joel Beeke is deeply compromised in his ministry practice, with all the danger that that brings to the Lord's blood-bought flock. And that is all Reverend Foster and I have done, is sounded the warning out of a sense of duty and with great concern for the Lord, for his word, for his honor, for his blood-bought flock. But enough. Go to pccmonroe.net if you want the whole story, so to speak. Right now, we go to Reverend Ivan Foster, retired minister, Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. For quite some time, my brother and I have been silent on the situation with Dr. Beeke. It's not that there has been nothing to talk about, far from it, but we felt we had sounded a loud, thorough warning with regard to the man and his ministry. Also, any perusal of either our writings or our sermons, and in my case also Heart of the Matter programs, will testify Dr. Beakey is not some obsession for us. We have other things to do, you might say. But we did our duty as we were convicted to do it with regard to Dr. Beakey. And then in recent days, though, Reverend Foster has felt compelled to perhaps sound one more alarm on a particular development, whether or not it'll be the last alarm on Dr. Joel Beakey. Well, we have to leave that to the Lord, but perhaps it will be, and Reverend Foster wanted to sound it. So let's hear what he has to say. But first, I should mention that the information Mr. Foster will be presenting here is available in article form and with a number of links that will go right to the information he'll be talking about as far as his documentation. That can be found under the title of Touching the Unclean Thing. It will be posted at Mr. Foster's Burning Bush website. Also, you can find it at our website, pccmonroe.net, and you will find it with the other articles that I told you about and the other links that are all at that. Well, you access it by going to our homepage and clicking on a heartfelt warning concerning the deep and open ministry compromises of Dr. Joel Beakey. All right, let's go to Reverend Foster.
An interesting fact regarding Dr. Joel Beakey's Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary has come to light thanks to research done by the editors of the website Banash, B-A-N-A-S-H. Sharon Kirker and Marie O'Pray are those editors. The Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary has received accreditation from the Association of Theological Schools. The association's website has this blurb by way of introduction to just what it is. It's a very revealing introduction. Here is a quotation from it. More than 270 graduate schools of theology in the United States and Canada form the Association of Theological Schools. Member schools conduct post-baccalaureate professional and academic degree programs to educate persons for the practice of ministry and for teaching and research in the theological disciplines. These schools differ from one another in deep and significant ways, but through their membership in ATS, they demonstrate a commitment to shared values about what constitutes good theological education. Collectively, ATS member schools enroll approximately 74,500 students and employ more than 7,200 faculty and administrators. Now, it is interesting that in this blurb, there is a link to shared values. And that link leads us to the following information. ATS shared values. The association seeks to implement its mission with attention to four key values. Diversity. ATS values the different expressions of faith that are represented by member schools and seeks to respect the varying understandings of theology, polity, religious leadership, and social commitment. Might I just comment that this must mean the respecting of the blasphemous falsehoods of popery and liberalism, since such receive accreditation from ATS. Another heading, quality and improvement. ATS schools value quality in the practice of ministry and in educational practices. Quality is always linked to improvement. Even schools that have achieved a high degree of quality can improve. The association encourages schools to advance in quality. Collegiality. ATS values the contributions that schools make to one another, regardless of differences in theological perspective, organizational complexity, or institutional size. ATS schools, as peer institutions, can learn from one another, cooperate on common tasks that benefit the broader community of theological schools, and hold themselves accountable to common practices and quality. Again, I must comment, this indicates that ATS is not merely an academic association, but it's a body that promotes fellowship and cooperation between the institutions that share its accreditation. And that includes Roman Catholic seminaries and liberal modernistic seminaries. That places Dr. Beakey's seminary in very bad company. Another heading, leadership. ATS values leadership and considers it essential for schools to attain their missions. ATS is committed to developing the skills and capacities of administrators, faculties, and boards of member schools. In addition to these core values, the association values formal education for ministerial leadership and advocates on behalf of its benefits for religious leaders, religious institutions, and the work of religion in broader publics, values justice in society and institution, and seeks to embody justice in its organizational life, values accountability for student learning, and both values and advocates for quality in the practice of ministry. Dr. Beakey's seminary shares a commitment to shared values and a furthering of the ungodly aims of ATS through its shared accreditation with such pillars of gospel truth as Aquinas Institute of Theology, Byzantine Catholic Seminary of St. Cyril and St. Methodius, Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology, Immaculate Conception Seminary, Seton Hall University, and there are many, many other popish, ecumenical, and apostate seats of learning included in the list of accredited schools within ATS. One of the common curricular ingredients for any college or seminary accredited by ATS is that they include in their curriculum the teaching of a subject termed spiritual formation, which is highly extolled on the ATS website. Spiritual formation has emerged as a new theological fad, which has gripped the whole camp of ecumenical and new evangelical thinking. A perusal of the article on the ATS website, Introduction, The Good Theological School, will make clear the views of ATS on this fad. Just what spiritual formation is may be seen in the information contained in some online articles which I have listed on my website. The articles are entitled Research, Spiritual Formation by the Christian Research Network, and secondly, An Epidemic of Apostasy, How Christian Seminaries Must Incorporate Spiritual Formation to Become Accredited, and thirdly, Christian Colleges Falling Deeper into Apostasy as They Cave into Supreme Court Ruling. I would like listeners to note that I am not familiar with all the views of the owners of these websites, so I cannot endorse all that may be found on them. But the information that I have linked on my site to the subject of spiritual formation on these sites just mentioned is very revealing, and I would encourage you to read those articles. The fact that Joel Beakey and his fellow faculty members in PRTS were willing to come in under the umbrella of ATS in order to receive the perceived academic recognition that its endorsement would bring, and join the ranks of Roman Catholic institutions, ecumenical, modernistic, and liberal schools, which make up ATS, surely indicates disdain for the Word of God and its command to remain separate from that which is unclean. If Dr. Beakey had regard for God's Word, then he would never have permitted a school to seek accreditation with ATS. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses 14 to 18 is but one of many, many portions in Holy Scripture which deal with this matter. I can recall some half century ago the late Dr. Carl McIntyre stressing the meaning of the word touch in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 6. He said that the word was one which carried the meaning of the very slightest contact to the most enthusiastic embrace. I think that Dr. Beakey is guilty, along with his seminary, of embracing that which God forbids us touching. Dr. Beakey's college links with the unclean ATS surely comes under the meaning of this word. Does this not show the great compromise that Dr. Beakey and the whole faculty of PRTS are prepared to engage in order to gain the perceived recognition and plaudits of academia? A readiness to mingle with the popish, modernistic, liberal, and ecumenical institutions which are to be found in the ranks of ATS must surely force upon those who have been slow to see and recognize just what is at work within the PRTS and the whole Joel Beakey movement a realization that there is something very wrong at the heart of this camp. What we are presenting is but further evidence of the perfidious character of the witness of Dr. Beakey. His former involvement with New Calvinists, such as John Piper, and his continuing to share platforms with those who hold views shared by John Piper. Indeed, he sells and promotes books written by Piper. His previous advocating of the REFO 500 ecumenical organization, and the scandalous propagation of error in the notes of his Reformation Heritage KJV study Bible, such as Peter being the rock on which the church is built, must surely provide further evidence to alarm those who have chosen to associate themselves with him, despite many faithful and substantiated warnings issued about his activities over a lengthy period of time. However, as I set this article before God's people, there comes to my mind the words of God to Micah. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. Micah chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Geneva Bible has the following comment on these words. He took the high mountains and hard rocks as witnesses against the obstinacy of his people. John Gill makes a similar comment. The Lord hereby suggests that they, the mountains, would as soon hear as his people, thus upbraiding their stupidity as he elsewhere does. There has been a stubbornness shown by some regarding the controversy surrounding the actions and evasiveness of Joel Beakey. Despite the abundant evidence of the man's unreliability, some cling to him still. Perhaps pride is at work. It is often difficult to admit an error of judgment and acknowledge the rightness of those who have sought to admonish us. But even when the people will not hear, the preacher must still cry out and contend for God's truth, even if it is only to the mountains and hills. God bless you.